WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is EC3.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken Not Hottie.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host,
they've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
You can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Bam. I knew you'd come.
I'm going down to New Orleans to see about a friend of mine. I'm going down to New Orleans where the stars on the sidewalk shine. Burning through Mississippi with the Big Easy on my mind.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at GirlWork.net, RackRadioShow.com, or WildTalkRadio.com, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you get a quick second, check out the fine folks over at FightBooth.com as well. And yes, that music means one thing. We are coming out of WrestleMania, which means it's time for the 14-hour WrestleMania recap. I'm just kidding. It's not going to be 14 hours. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
Yes, we are here. We are live. This is The Rack right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, streaming live on TuneIn Radio and on Periscope. Search Wild Talk Radio. You can interact with us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, at Lindsay Ward, at Rack Radio Show. You can join us in the conversation on GoWork.net, WildTalkRadio.com, and the all-new RackRadioShow.com.
Ding! You know the best part about all this?
What's that?
We never have to hear this Kid Rock song again after this.
Well, maybe.
Hopefully not.
I think there may be one more week of recaps they do.
Probably, but after that, no more of this song. Ever again. I'm so happy.
You know what?
Yay!
You know what's weird about this song?
What?
Because I'm going to play it later in the show.
What?
In fact, no, I'll bring it up a little bit. So you know how I brought it into us for the song, right?
Right.
To come into the show? Here, listen. Look how slow and sounding it is. The start of it.
Yeah.
It's a, like, there's, they chopped off, like I did, 2.5 minutes of this song that is slow moving.
Well, you know, you only want to use the good part.
You only use the good part. But it's like, when I found the song, I was like, wait, this is a 6-minute song? This does not sound like the song they use on everything, every promo they use.
Because they found the part that they liked, and they just used that. That's what they did.
And that is what I did at the beginning of the show.
So, there you go. Well, as you guessed, like I said, this is the WrestleMania recap. We're talking pretty much everything WrestleMania. There is not a lot of news out of the show.
Presented by Garwick Planet.
Ding. So just a couple quick notes, which includes, for the NXT recap, here you go, here it is, War Machine. They debuted.
No, you're wrong.
It's the War Raiders, that's what they're being called, but War Machine.
There you go, War Raiders.
So, they debuted Wednesday night.
Not to be confused with the Oakland Raiders. We're the Las Vegas Raiders. They're the War Raiders.
Ding. So, yes, so congratulations to them. And, well, I think that's pretty much the news. Oh, wait, no, there's one more news. There's something suspicious going on with Rusev right now. He was scheduled to face The Undertaker at the Greatest Royal Rumble at the end of the month in a casket match. And then he released something on TMZ, and now he's out of the match, suspiciously. And Jericho is in. So not quite sure what happened there, but Rusev seems pretty bummed.
Yeah.
He put out a series of odd tweets.
Series of odd tweets, yeah. He's a little bit bummed. By the way, the supposedly, reportedly, the greatest Royal Rumble ever will be 5 hours long. Get ready, people. Get ready.
Oh god, I can't do that twice in 1 month. I just can't do that.
But at least it's not till like midnight. It's from noon to 5. Makes watching 5 hours a little bit easier.
I mean, at least they warn me, so if I have to block out an afternoon to do this, I can. But, you know, it's just like, oh, come on, really? But then with 20 title matches and a Royal Rumble and everything else, why wouldn't it be 5 hours?
Yeah, like with a 90-minute plus Rumble just for itself, it's like, which is, and that's just with entrances, you never know, it's probably even longer, so maybe like an hour and 45 for a Rumble itself.
Right.
That is if they do every 90 seconds, they could do a minute just to get everyone in and out, but yeah, so we'll see. But yeah, on that show, you have the Steel Cage match with Brock and Roman, which we'll talk about later. You have a ladder match for the IC title, and a whole bunch of other things, so yeah, it's gonna be a fun show, and all that fun stuff. We'll have a recap of it probably the following week.
Yeah. So, jumping right into WrestleMania, brought to you by our friends over at Gerwick.net, FightBoot.com, and MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211. Just everybody again. We start on the pre-show, the two-hour pre-show, and this is one of our first tiebreakers of the night. What opened the show was the Andre the Giant. Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Giant. The Andre Giant.
I have no idea where that came from. New York just like came and jumped right out of my mouth. Or Jersey. I'm not sure which.
Doyant.
But, so everybody starts in the ring and I'm scanning the ring because it's like, is Bray Wyatt there? Is Bray Wyatt there? I see Bo. I don't see Bray. This is a good thing. He's not there.
There's Kane. And a lot of people you haven't seen in forever, like Primo and Mike Kanellis. Hi. Hi, guys.
Stuck you guys right back in.
So Aiden English walked into this Battle Royal, and he was out first.
He walked into this Battle Royal. He looked very spiffy in his Rob Schomburger-inspired tights.
But he also walked into this Battle Royal with hair.
Yes, he did.
Later, somehow disappeared.
Somehow he walked into a razor when he got eliminated. I'm not quite sure how that happened.
He's living on the edge.
He is living on the edge.
Get it?
I feel like he lost a bet. Like, somehow, some way. I don't know why, because you don't just shave your head in the middle of a wrestling show unless you, like, lost a bet or something. Or you saw yourself and you're like, oh god, does my hair look that bad?
Quick,
shave it.
Bald spot. All the bald spots.
All the bald spots. He was not the only one with a bald spot in this match. I'm just going to say that right now. The bald spots were everybody.
So in this match, we got to say hello to John Cena sitting in the crowd. Mojo Rawley does not like Zack Ryder anymore. He pounced the ever-living crap out of him.
Oh my god, that was impressive as crap.
Goldust had some polka dots involved in his gear.
He was doing a tribute to his dad. I can respect that.
He dabbed a little bit after eliminating R-Truth.
He did dab.
Don't ever dab again.
He tried.
Ziggler. I know this stood out to you. Ziggler. Just.
Oh my god.
Go.
Like, I know everybody was trying to do a version of the Skin the Cat, but like every time they would show Ziggler, he was doing the Skin the Cat move. Like, he had to have done it at least 5 times.
At least.
At least in this match alone. And it's like, dude. And I'm not talking like he spread it out over 5 times. No, it's like he was doing it a minute, 30 seconds apart kind of thing at one point. And it's like, Dolph, honey, stop. Okay, we get it. You can dangle off the third rope and your feet don't touch the floor. We get it, okay? Stop trying to do that. Like, or if you're going to do it a bunch of times, space it out. Don't do it every 90 seconds, because it's like every time they would show him, Dolph's dangling and his feet are swinging, and it's like, and then he would pull himself up because he skinned the cat. And it's like, okay, all right, just enough.
Highlight of the match was Matt Hardy meeting Ty Dillinger.
Oh, God.
The 10 delete.
Which had to be your favorite.
I enjoyed the 10 delete. I don't enjoy the 10 count afterwards, but I enjoyed the 10 delete. It was fun. Then Ty Dillinger got deleted. So it comes down to the past two winners, Corbin and Mojo, and they were double teaming the Woken Warrior Matt Hardy. And he was on the verge of being eliminated until Bray Wyatt reappears from deletion to save Matt Hardy, allowing Matt Hardy. Did I say Bray Hardy? Bray Wyatt saved Matt Hardy, and Matt Hardy wins. Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. The Woken Warriors have united.
His fashion was very on point. Bray looked great, his new outfit.
Is that it? Is that all you got on that?
That is all I'm going to say on that.
No, what? Come on, you. There's got to be more.
They hugged.
They did hug.
Which was weird.
Bray did his pose.
I'm trying really hard to be positive about this. But I will say, I'm not a huge fan of Matt Hardy. Everybody knows that. But if this gets Bray back on TV, if this gets him relevant again, I can deal with it. I can deal with it because, as I always tell myself in wrestling, it's not Katie Vick. That is the litmus. That is the line for me in wrestling. It's not Katie Vick. That's what you have to tell yourself if you know what that is. If you do not know what that is, please do not Google that. It will scar you for life. For those of us that witnessed it firsthand when it happened, we all understand. But yeah, this is what it is. I think we all kind of knew this was coming a little bit. I was very happy to see Bray. I was really happy he got on the show because I was very worried he was not going to get on the show. And there was nothing for him coming into it. He, as far as I know, I don't think he did any signings over the weekend at all. I think he got pulled from both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Or if he did do a signing, he only did like maybe one, and there's very few pictures from it. So you were at Access and you met Bray Wyatt at Access. Let us know. But there are a lot of pictures of him wandering around New Orleans. So he was there. We knew he was there. But it was like he wasn't doing anything official. He didn't turn up anywhere official that we heard of. So it's like, oh God, what are they doing with him? What's happening with him? And it's like, well, he could be Braun's partner. He could be doing this. He could be doing that. He could turn up anywhere. We just don't know, but the popular theory was Bray Wyatt was going to end up in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, which he did, and he helped Matt Hardy, and again, I'm not a huge fan of this. I'm not particularly fond of Matt Hardy, but if this does good things for Bray Wyatt, I will accept his crazy-ass boyfriend.
She's going to become Woken.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
For the sake of Boo Boo, I will deal with this. For the sake of Boo Boo only. This is love right here. This is love.
She will get Woken.
No.
For Bray Wyatt.
No, I'm not going to get Woken. No, not going to happen.
When it happens, it'll be simply delightful.
No. I will say this, though. Bray, honey, you wrestle, take off your damn apron.
So.
I don't know why he's wrestling in the apron, but take off your damn apron. I want to see the rest of your pants.
So they then went to like a Sam Roberts thing in the crowd, which was really, really awkward.
He looked like he was having fun, though.
Yes, but they stayed on him way too long.
Well, you know, they gotta get that in there.
Like he was done talking. He had no more words, and they're like in his ear, stall, 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 because the cruiserweights weren't ready. And like, what am I supposed to say now?
He's like, and it's WrestleMania! Jazz hands.
Pretty much.
That's pretty much what he did. But after that, the cruiserweights got their stuff together, and we got Cedric Alexander versus Mustafa Ali, and damn, Ali looked cool. Like, damn, did he look cool.
Yeah.
He had a little, like, light-up mask, and he had, like, all this cool stuff on. I don't think Cedric wore anything, you know, like, cool. Or he just sort of, like, came out. He looked good, but, you know, he just sort of came out.
He was Cedric, and he is now your new Cruiserweight Champion.
This was a good match.
Yeah, it was fine.
I mean, very, very good match. This was the start of, I think, the hour pre-show on USA, right here.
Yes.
So this and the women were on the hour pre-show.
Which was seen by like 700,000 people, something to that effect. Maybe more. Maybe more than that. Pretty decent number.
Yeah, just a couple quick notes. There was a spot where Ali fell to the outside and you just heard a loud thud.
Yeah, there was a thud. There was a major thud.
Didn't sound like it felt good. You just have 054 for a long two on the foot on the rope.
054 is the name of his finish. He hit it, and it was a really long two count with a foot on the rope. Don't try to read my notes. It's hard. Trust me.
Yeah, I like how you spelled soul.
I know. I just sold. Heart and soul. Heart and sorrow. Soul. This is why I read my notes.
Yeah, but when you give them to me, I can give you crap about them. So
I know. Lumbar check for the win.
You get WrestleMania and a show, y'all, because we give each other crap the whole time.
See, I take notes during the show, people. I don't rely on recaps for pay-per-views. I actually sit here and write out notes.
Very useful.
It is very useful and sometimes very confusing at the same time.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyway, so now we're on to the Women's Battle Royal, the very first ever, not really, Women's Battle Royal on WrestleMania for the, what I affectionately call, Uterus Cup, because that's what it looks like. So, we had a bunch of women in this match. There were no real, I guess, surprises in this match. We didn't get any legacy divas, essentially, or legacy women's wrestlers in this. We got a lot of NXT girls. Dakota Kai was there. Peyton Royce was there, suspiciously without Billy Kay. Tanara Conti was there. Kairi Sane, Bianca Belair, Kavita Devi.
Those were the six NXT representatives. Kavita, the first ever Indian woman to participate in WrestleMania.
Very cool.
To answer another tiebreaker, Carmella was the first one out of the ring. Then Dana Brooke got ganged up on, like, I don't like this, and she got tossed out. We then sort of migrated to an NXT takeover with the NXT girls, like, kicking some ass, until Becky Lynch got involved with Kavita. Becky loves her orange.
Mm-hmm.
And got rid of Kavita because orange.
Well, I liked how they started this, because basically they singled out the weak ones and they got rid of the weak ones, and there's Lana in the corner and Mandy, and I'm like, oh god, just get out of the ring. They're going for the weak girls. Just get out of the ring. Just do it.
Mm-hmm. We learned on commentary, because Paige was there, that Sonya Deville is her favorite member of Absolution.
Awesome. We should also note that, you know, Paige is now the very brand new SmackDown GM post-retirement.
Because Daniel Bryan is now a full-time wrestler, so he had to give up his position. And yes, Paige is now the SmackDown Live General Manager. There's your SmackDown throwdown. Yay!
Ding.
Bianca Belair had a nice 450.
She had a really nice 450, but it took way too long to set up.
Riot Squad took over for a while. Peyton Royce looked impressive in this matchup, but Dakota Kai.
Kiwi wifey.
She went from sweet and innocent to just destroying people for a bit.
I was very proud of her.
So we thought it boiled down to Bayley and Sasha Banks as the final two, but it was not to be. As Bayley got rid of Sasha, as they had a little moment in the ring, Bayley got her big shining moment on Sasha, getting rid of her. Naomi was still alive, and, well, Naomi got rid of Bayley.
This was a nice little swerve at the end where it's like, oh, you think, you know, it comes down to Bayley and Sasha, and then Bayley wins, and you're like, oh, yay, Bayley won, they gave her something, yay! And then Naomi gets in the ring, and it's like, oh, hell, this is not over yet. And then you have Naomi eliminate Bayley, and it's like, okay, all right, I can take this. I'm totally fine with this. Like, I pretty much would have accepted anybody to win it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, all right, I'm cool with this. Go, Naomi. Make it glow.
Her uterus is glowing now.
Because she has the cup.
Because she has the cup.
With the pretty ovary red ribbons.
Can't wait for her to bedazzle them.
It's going to be awesome. So, moving on from that is your final match on the pre-show, and we head into the main show, and opening it up is The Miz versus Seth Rollins versus Finn Balor for the IC title. The Miz, or we should talk about the entrances before we talk about the match.
Okay, go for it.
So, we have Seth Rollins come out as the Night's King from Game of Thrones. And one thing we should mention about the stage, because we didn't talk about the stage, and we should talk about the stage real quick. It's very cool. They had little X's for, like, a backdrop, and then the main entrance was a carnival mask, essentially, where it had, like, the little points at the top were lit up and they could be animated with video, and then the actual mask part itself was the video screen.
Which was cool.
Which was really freaking cool. And what the theme was throughout the night is the different wrestlers, they had created like a mask for them. So when Seth came out, they did like a Game of Thrones Ice Night King kind of mask, complete with the blue eyes, and he walked out and he had like his gear designed like the Night King's armor. He was wearing these bright blue contacts. Like, it looked really, really sick when he came out, because he did fire and ice.
Used to be heard Wednesday nights right here on the Wild Talk. Wait, never mind.
No, wrong show.
Hockey.
That's the one with the
sticking the puck in the thing.
Okay. All right.
Anyway.
Moving on from that, we had Miz come out. And Miz had this glorious red jacket on, which was all bedazzled and everything, and he had awesome on his sunglasses. It was a little, it's like it was a cross between Game of Thrones and Elton John. And we were joking that he was a Lannister because he was wearing red and gold. So we have the Night's King, we have a Lannister. And then we have Finn, who came out all rainbow colorfied. He had his black trunks on with the Balor Club logo in the rainbow. And he had his kick pads, the back of them are rainbow. What was really cool is he had everybody on, he had a bunch of people on stage, I guessing representing the LGBTQ.
Yes. Yeah, they're representing that, yes.
Movement, support, I should say movement, but support, all of that, which was incredibly awesome and so cool to see. And so he had a crowd, he came out, they were all celebrating and having a good time, and he came down the ring, and he looked great. I think a lot of people were disappointed we did not get a demon entrance. I think we all wanted to see a demon entrance. Let's wait for it, because we may get it next year.
Again, you can't just randomly throw out the demon. I think they've learned from that with the Bray stuff. You can't just randomly throw the demon out there
and think,
and think it will pop a crowd.
I think they're trying to make the demon especially really, really, really special. Like, they're not going to pull it out every pay-per-view anymore. They're going to have him just do his regular thing for a while, and the demon only comes out for very, very, very special occasions. And I like that.
And they knew he was going to lose, so they were not going to, you know.
Yeah, have him break out the demon.
Demon to lose. This was a good match. I really enjoyed it. They went for pinfalls early. Seth Rollins had an awesome frog splash. Well, Finn was in the figure four. There were nice teases throughout the match. We had the buckle bomb to the Miz at one point, which was cool to see. We go back to the suplex Falcon Arrow. That's been a common reoccurrence in Seth Rollins matches. That gets countered, so that's sort of becoming a trademark spot. So maybe they'll finally get rid of it here in a few weeks so we don't see it every single time.
Well, what was cool, to go back to the buckle bomb for a second, is they teased it with Finn.
They did.
And they did a really nice job teasing, like, going, oh god, this is the one that put, you know, Finn on the shelf for a year, whatever, you know, so that was really neat that they teased that and they hyped that up. Like, oh god, is he going to hit it? Oh god, is he going to put Finn back on the shelf? That was really neat.
Yeah, we had a skull-crushing finale from the top rope, which Cole called a bulldog. Finn had a coup de grace to break it up. He had a coup de grace on the Miz, but a stomp to Finn on the Miz and a stomp to Miz allow Seth Rollins to become the new Intercontinental Champion.
Yay!
I enjoyed this match.
I enjoyed this match tremendously. I thought it was very good.
Yeah.
So good. Yeah, and congratulations to Seth, Miz. Congratulations to you as well. Go home and be with your daughter. You have earned it. Because goddamn is she cute. He's been putting pictures out all over Instagram. She is adorable. So yeah. So this was awesome. This is great. Loved it. Moving on from there.
What's next?
We have the SmackDown Women's Championship on the line, which we're all sitting here like, wait, what? We're doing this now?
Yep.
Okay. As the Empress takes on the Queen for the championship.
Charlotte's entrance. Oh my god.
Holy shnikes. Charlotte's entrance.
Holy Skittles.
Holy Skittles! So, for those of you that remember a few years ago when Triple H came out and he had the Shield Maidens and he had the throne and he was the king and all this other stuff, and Charlotte was one of the Shield Maidens. Fast forward to Sunday, where you had Charlotte come out as the queen, decked out in gold with the title. She gets up off her throne. She has three warriors with her, all like decked out in full Roman armor, and they escort her to the ring. They help her get her jacket off. This was just spectacular for her. Loved the hell out of this. It's like, upgrade!
It was cool touch using Rick's music, and it was not actually his music, but it was the song. It was the slow version of the song. It was perfect.
It was great.
It was great. It was the spectacle of it was tremendous. I really loved the entrance.
It was perfect. It was absolutely perfect. And then we cut to Asuka, who had an equally cool entrance, because one thing that they did this year that was unique is they took advantage of 3D graphics and they overlaid them over the actual video footage. So it's like, for Asuka, she had 3D floating masks of all the masks from her entrance around the stage and the entrance ramp for when she came out. So when the live crowd saw her, she just walked out. But for the home audience, you saw the effects, which was really, really neat.
Yeah, I thought.
And I liked how they did that.
It's a really cool entrance.
Didn't she get the laser show? Was she one of the ones that got the light laser show?
I cannot remember.
Yeah, I don't remember. But some people also got laser shows, which we'll get into later.
Later. I don't remember about the laser show because, again, I'm doing multiple things at this point. So yeah, this was really, really good. Like, I don't have any real complaints about this matchup. There was some nice counter wrestling. There was nice submissions throughout this matchup. Like, the one crazy move that made you hold your breath was Charlotte doing the Spanish fly?
Oh, dude.
It's like, oh my God, she going to, yep, that's what she did. She did the Spanish fly. It's like, oh my God.
They went for it in this match. They absolutely went for it.
Yeah, I love that she went for natural selection and Asuka turned it into like the armbar thing, or a triangle, whatever it was, which is really cool. The hip attack it countered into a spear.
What about the moonsault into the submission?
Oh yeah, the moonsault into the triangle, then roll into the Boston Crab, which early in the match was great.
That was fantastic.
That was fantastic as well. But the figure eight locked in, and Asuka tapped out.
And the world was stunned. New Orleans, the place where streaks go to die.
You know who wasn't stunned? Me.
You?
Yeah. Me. Why? Because I called it.
We had talked about it before, and it's like, there's no way they're going to do it. There's no way, but it's like, they're building it up too much. And I mentioned it to you. Mm-hmm. It's like, they're building this up way too much for them not to break it.
Oh, I know. And it was a good thing, because it needed to be broken.
Yeah, I just want to address a couple things about this in particular, because I've seen a lot of people complaining about this, that they should have let Asuka carry the streak forward. Here's the problem with the streak, is eventually she was going to get stale. Eventually she was going to run out of people to go through. And then what do you do with her? You have no choice. You have to break it. So what do? You break it now. You get her out from under the weight of it, and you start her fresh. You don't have her lose a lot. You don't need to have her lose a lot. But when she loses, it's important and it's impactful. Because it's like, the problem with this was, every time Asuka got in a match, you knew she was going to win. It was telegraphed for you. It's like the mixed match challenge. You watched that whole thing, and as cool as it was, the second they put her in there, it's like you knew who was winning that whole thing, because they were not going to break that streak. So I really like that they took the streak off of her, because this now gets that weight off of her. And it goes back to being about her instead of being about the streak, because that's what it was becoming. She was going secondary to the fact that she was completely undefeated. Now it's back to being about her and how badass she is.
And I'm going to tell you now, see, after the match, she went on the microphone and told everyone in the world that Charlotte was ready for Asuka.
And I loved how they handled this, where Charlotte and Asuka embrace after she's been beaten. It's no bad sport. Asuka accepts the loss. They embrace. They hug. There is mutual respect there between the two, which I really liked.
Now, Asuka's going heel. She was way too nice. She's going heel.
Probably.
Which is the best thing for her.
Yeah.
Let her go on a destruction streak. Let her go heel. She works better as a heel. That's all.
That's it. All right.
Let's not get to the next match. We gotta talk about one thing.
What are we gonna talk about?
Welcome back to the SmackDown Throwdown, everybody. We had an iconic debut on SmackDown Live with Two Eyes, and they beat down the reigning and defending SmackDown Live Women's Champion Charlotte.
Ooh, they were vicious.
They were vicious. Great debut.
Becky was busy getting quinoa.
Yeah. Then SmackDown became fabulous as Carmella cashes in and becomes the brand new SmackDown Live Women's Champion. Yet Mike Chioda hesitate and stall and like, are you sure? And it was like the slowest cash in thing ever. It's like, oh my God, It's not gonna happen. But oh no, it happened. Carmella is the new SmackDown Live Women's Champion.
Awesome. Now mind you, Charlotte's gonna get up and she's gonna kill her.
She's gonna kill her. But it was awesome. It was a cool moment for her. I liked the debut of the Iconics.
The Iconic duo was fabulous. They got Chance. It was great.
So yeah.
We almost had a wardrobe malfunction, but thankfully they saved it at the last second, so that's good.
That is always good. But yeah, and them trying to lift Charlotte up where she was just all dead weight, it was tremendous. She was like just dead weighting it. It was perfect.
And they were like, come on!
She was like, if you're going to move me, you're going to have to move me.
Right.
By the way, going back to Charlotte for really quickly. Because I just remember this. She lost a good few pounds in the last few days leading up to WrestleMania. She dropped like 3 or 4 pounds, but you could notice it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all.
Mania shape, baby.
That was Mania shape. But it was something you could just tell with the gear and everything. You could tell she lost a couple pounds.
But that's okay.
That is okay. So that was a SmackDown Throwdown Part 2. Now back to the show.
And by the way, you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. He's Rock. I'm Lindsay. We're covering WrestleMania, in case you didn't figure that out. So moving on from here, we are doing the U.S. title, where it's Randy Orton, your champion, is taking on Bobby Roode, Jinder Mahal, and Rusev.
So,
and I don't recall any special entrances for this one. I know Bobby's was really nice.
They were fine. Randy lost the sperm.
Randy did not have the giant sperm this year. Which, if you don't know what we're talking about, go back and watch his match last year and just watch him walk to the ring. That's all you need to see. So, and you'll know exactly what we're talking about.
This is where we learned Aiden English lost his hair.
Yeah. It's like Rusev comes out and Aiden English walks out and he's bald. It's like, wait a minute. Where did his hair go?
I had to go back and go, wait, did he shave this beforehand or was... So I remember seeing him with hair. I was like, he has hair and now he doesn't have hair. I was like, I had to go to Twitter and like find a picture. I was like, oh, man, yeah. He cut his hair. So,
yeah, because it's like I was sitting here watching it, and I did the same thing. I was like, did he have hair on the pre-show? What did he do?
Because I know the pre-show sometimes is a blur. It's like, I knew he had hair.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, he shaved his head for some reason mid-show, and we've got no explanation as to why. But he did it, so my conclusion, he lost a bet. He had to have, right?
He must have.
Alright, so, basically, this was a good match. This was a good four-way. RKO's for everybody. We had the Singh brother get involved. And you have Rusev wants to be a part of gender? He wants, like, does he want to hinder the gender, or does he want to merge with the gender?
There was supposed to be a no there. Rusev wanted no part of the gender.
Ah!
Again, I'm typing fast. Don't mind my notes. Anyway, Jinder Mahal is your winner.
So congratulations to Jinder Mahal. And there was update on SmackDown. Randy Orton had to face Bobby Roode. Rusev?
He fought Bobby Roode and Rusev.
Okay, yeah. He fought Bobby Roode and Rusev to get his rematch against Jinder because Paige deemed it so because reasons. So.
Should mention, because this is one thing I did not write it down in my notes because I forgot. After the Charlotte match, after we've seen multiple shots of John Cena in the crowd, he was told, he's here, he's here. He's here. And then John Cena ran to pee or something.
He quickly ran to the back. I really loved fandom John Cena.
It was tremendous. There are a lot of people who hated it because, oh my god, they keep cutting and it's going to ruin all the fans. It's like, no. The whole story is he was going to be a fan. So if they didn't show him in there as a fan, then it was pointless. They actually went through with it, which is tremendous.
They had him sitting in the crowd. He was drinking a beer. He was hanging out with people. It was fantastic. Mm-hmm. I am here for fandom John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
So moving on from that, we have Kurt Angle and Ronda Rousey in her debut taking on Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. Holy Skittles. The match. The match. The entrances, the whole thing.
The pageantry, the everything. It was...
Jesus! Okay, we're going to start Trips and Steph.
In a second. This probably was the greatest match on the show.
Yeah, this was. This was really good. But the entrances.
Alright, start with Hunter and Steph.
They had an all-chick biker gang, which I'm just like, sign me up for this. Sign me up! They had these, like, five badass chicks on bikes. They looked awesome. And then you have Hunter and Steph come out, and Steph's all decked out in the fake leather and latex and everything. She's looking like a BAMF. Hunter comes out. He's got like a biker skull mask on. He's got the vest on. They're both on their own trike. Like the trike that Hunter had last year, they got another one made for Steph. So she ain't riding this year. She's driving. Which is like, hi. So they all come down to the ring. The chicks escort Hunter and Steph. They park their trikes at ringside. The girls go around and then go back up the ramp and drive away. And Hunter and Steph get up on the apron, which Steph looked really, really good. You want to talk about somebody who lost weight and trimmed up for this? Dude, Steph's been putting in that work, man.
She's been putting in that work. Oh, yeah.
Like, she was not big by any means, and she was not out of shape by any means, but you can tell she trained her ass off for this.
Mania shape.
She was in mania shape. She looked fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Hunter looked great as well, but they get up on the apron, they do the spit take, and then they get in the ring. Like, they have a little moment. They do a little kiss.
They did the light show.
They did the light show, which was... I love the laser cannon of doom. And then Kurt and Ronda come out. So Kurt comes out. He has his very standard entrance. He has his medals. He's getting the crowd to chant, "You suck" at him. And then Ronda comes out.
You want to talk about getting into shape?
Damn.
Damn was right.
And on top of that, she looked cute as hell.
In the kilt? Yeah.
In the kilt. She had a little kilt on. She had the Roddy jacket with her. Her gear was the white top that says Rowdy. And then she just wore little black shorts. She looked super cute. Loved it. And then the match starts. And just all hell breaks loose. And everybody starts getting their ass beat.
Like, it wasn't even before. It was like, even before the bell, Steph is like poking and prodding at her. And pulling her down by her hair and everything. She was getting her cheap shots in early before the bell. And then throughout the match.
she was just getting her little cheap shots in on Kurt, and there Hunter was like, you know, Hunter Steph told the ref, it's like, we call the shots, you just stand here and look pretty. There was a nice callback to WrestleMania last year where Hunter hit Steph and put her through the table. It was a nice callback here is where Hunter almost hit Steph, and they had a moment where it's like, I'm sorry, I almost did it. It's like, okay. Steph would stop, at one point, ran around the ringside, pulled Ronda off the apron, and they're just building and building. The anticipation is growing. The fans know it's coming. With Hunter down, they know it's coming. Ronda gets the tag, and the roof blows off the Superdome, brother.
And she starts kicking ass.
Oh, she whoops some ass.
She beat up Hunter.
We'll get the Hunter.
She beat up Steph.
Steph had the counter for the armbar. Steph got in some offense. Ronda had her pinned, but Hunter pulled the ref out after she did her Samoan drop throw. And then the quote of the night, I'm just going to go continue beating up your wife. And then Hunter pulled out Ronda. And then Hunter versus Ronda.
Oh my god, this was amazing.
Like, there was a spot where Ronda rolled through and got Hunter up on her shoulders.
Mm-hmm. And he's just like hanging there like, what?
Steph came in and stopped it. And then Kurt Angle gets back involved. And he got to Olympic Suplex City. Angle signed for a two count. And Steph's getting there. How did you? This is all your fault. Yada, yada, yada. She's just jaw-jacking him. And then goes to kick him. Steph grabs the leg. Goes for the ankle lock, gets broken up. There's a pedigree on the Kurt Angle. Ronda breaks it up in an awesome spot. Pedigree into the Hurricanrana, into the armbar. And everyone's like, Hunter's gonna tap.
I wanted Hunter to tap to Ronda so damn bad. And by the way, he sold this. He sold everything for her like $1 million. Like, he made her look so good. Steph, too. But Hunter, oh my god, Hunter sold for her.
Those punches in the corner where she's just lighting him up and Corey Graves is like, cover up, Hunter.
I think he enjoyed it.
Oh, you know he did.
I think we just discovered one of Triple H's secret kicks, y'all. just a thought.
Yeah. So out of the armbar comes Stephanie with a rear naked choke. We then transition to an ankle lock and an armbar. Triple H was stopping Steph from tapping out. Hunter got rolled through the ankle lock, allowing Kurt Angle to take out Ronda Rousey by accident, and get to the closing moments. Hunter and Steph are like, Steph's like, what do we gotta do? What can we do? And Hunter's like, alright, pedigree, let's do it. So they get them both up after they were thrown into the ring post, shoulder first. Kurt is set up for the pedigree, Ronda's getting set up, Kurt backdrops Hunter over the top rope, Kurt rolls out, and then Ronda gets out of the pedigree and then locks the armbar in on Stephanie McMahon, and Steph is screaming and she's trying to block it. And then Ronda mounts her and she starts screaming, I'm sorry. And Ronda's like, too late. And she reaches back, bends that arm. Stephanie McMahon taps out to the armbar. Perfect.
Wonderful finish to this. I loved how Ronda just pried Steph's hands apart. And once she had it, she's like, you done. And then she just laid back. Like, that was it.
It was that fear of God moment. Like, you about to die. Say your last rites. You about to die. Because it was a fear of God moment when Ronda got on top of her. It was tremendous.
It was.
It made Ronda look like a badass. Kurt looked fine. Steph looked really good in this match. Hunter sold like a champ. Again, this was the best match on the show. The most entertaining match on the show. Not the most entertaining moment. We'll get to that after the break, but this was the most entertaining match of the night. Ronda Rousey proved all the doubters wrong, like she's done her entire career.
Yes.
It was so, so good.
So, so good. Like, it's so good. We gotta take a break, y'all. We gotta take a break. I gotta cool down. Sitting here fanning myself, because this match was just lit. This is so good. So when we come back, after we take a break, so everybody get some water, go to the bathroom, do what you gotta do, get a snack. We're going to be covering the other half of WrestleMania with some news and notes and everything else weaved in. So, you're listening to The Rack, WrestleMania Recap Spectacular, and we will be right back.
Get chatty with CB Radio. Like us on Facebook. facebook.com/CB Radio Live.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last!
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Get chatty with CB Radio. Tweet us at twitter.com/CB Radio Live. And while you're at it, tweet me, twitter.com/LoneJobber.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air? Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
Hey, y'all, you want to get social with The Rack? Follow us on Instagram, instagram.com/RackRadioShow.
Ladies and gentlemen, EC3.
This is EC3.
I am in the top 1%.
You are listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Me. I'm in the top 1%.
People see me, but they just don't know what's in my heart and why I love you so. I love you, baby, like a minor love gold. So come on, baby, let the good time roll. Come on, baby.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at Gerwick.net, RackRadioShow.com, or WildTalkRadio.com, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you get a quick second, check out the fine folks over at FightBoot.com as well. And well, if you just tuned in, we are covering WrestleMania, which was this past Sunday on the WWE Network. And if you've been with us since the beginning, well, we're going to pick up right where we left off, which you missed the first seven matches if you just tuned in, by the way. So we are going to pick up, because you know we had to calm down after the Ronda and Hunter match, with the tag team titles, the SmackDown tag team titles, I should add, the Usos versus the New Day versus the Bludgeon Brothers. My babies. My babies.
Pancake people?
Mini stacks.
The
short stacks. So, New Day comes out, and they have the overlaid 3D graphics where it was like unicorns and pancakes and rainbows and all this other really cool stuff that was neat as hell. And then the New Day comes out, they're throwing pancakes to people, and then they have little people dressed up in pancake costumes running around. It was special. It was awesome, but it was special. The Usos just came out, and the Bludgeon Brothers just came out. But with the Beardy Children, Eric, after all these years, has finally gotten Luke in on the mask fetish. I was horrified and proud at the same time, because Luke's is just a little bit more frightening.
Just a little bit.
His is like I think it's a wolf skull. It's some kind of predator skull, because it's got fangs over his face, and then Eric had his sheet mask, and they had their same gear. They didn't get different gear or anything like that, but they looked good. The Usos had new gear, New Day had new gear, and yeah, so there you go. And, well, Woods has a thing for them Wyatt boys.
Doesn't he now?
He, at one point during the match, Woods is, like, almost entranced by Harper and Rowan. And it's like, I know you. I know you from another time, from another place. And, oh, hey, look, I'm going to punch you in the face. And that's exactly what he did. But the babies kicked some ass.
They did.
It's very proud of them.
They did.
They kicked so much that they are your new WWE Tag Team Champions for SmackDown.
Hey!
Finally. Jesus Christ. Finally. Eric Rowan and Luke Harper are Tag Team Champions. Good God, this should have happened like 2 years ago.
Yeah, more than that, but yes.
Yes. I'm so happy for them. The titles look fantastic around their waist. This has been a long time coming for them. And so, yeah. Way to go, boys. Way to go. Very proud of you. And just as a quick SmackDown update on this, the Usos and New Day faced off to determine who was the number one contender, even though the Usos had the rematch. Anyway, so the Usos won that match, so nothing changed. They're still going to get the shot at the Bludgeons, I think, at the Greatest Royal Rumble. Where's the backlash?
They're the Greatest Royal Rumble.
Okay. So, yay!
Yay!
And then next.
Then it's time for John Cena in action.
Comes out, he's in his gear, and it's like, oh, okay, here we go. So he runs to the ring, and then there's a ref in the ring, and then another one comes out, and he's like, yeah,
he's not here.
He's not here.
He's not here.
You don't know where he is.
Not here. And John Cena's all depressed. And then the lights go out. We all think, oh my god, it's Taker. Oh my god, it's Taker, Taker, Taker. Oh my god, it's Taker. But ladies and gentlemen, it is time to walk with Elias.
This was great. This was absolutely great. This is a wonderful swerve. Love this. And Elias sings as John Cena sucks. Cena comes to the ring. He's obviously pissed off. He's embarrassed. He beats off Elias.
Hold on. John Cena sucks and beats off Elias. Phrasing. John Cena was in the crowd, hopped back over the ramp, then beat up Elias with the five moves of doom.
I'm just doing the fan service here. What do you want from me?
I understand. An AA to Elias, the most disheartened John Cena ever. And then it's like, oh, his music plays. He's being played off, which I thought was the best thing ever. He was being played off of WrestleMania. Segment's over. John Cena wins.
He looks so sad.
He did.
He was like, that's it? That's all I get? I'm not going to get Taker? what? And then the lights go out again.
They do.
And when they come back up, there's a pile of mysterious clothing in the ring. And John Cena's staring at it, and we're all staring at it, and oh hey look, it's Taker's coat and hat and gloves. Nicely, neatly folded from last year. Somebody went and got it from Access. And it's in the middle of the ring. And next thing we know, lightning.
Strikes
the ring. It strikes the gear. The lights go out again. And it's gone.
Oh no.
It's like, what's going on?
Oh no.
And then the fog kicks up. The purple lights raise.
A little disappointed in both of our eyes because it's not American. Badass.
It's okay. It's okay. I'll take it. Not gonna complain. And out from the stage rises the Undertaker in the same gear that he wore last year, which was a very nice touch that they had him wear that same gear to the ring.
There was only one change from last year. The weave.
Yes. So Undertaker got his hair did this year. He made sure it looked good. He got fake hair put in, which I can appreciate. So bravo, Taker.
Taker weave watch was on strong. We were sitting here going, is that a weave? That's a weave. That's not his hair. That's weave.
Yeah, it's like, we're sitting here, it's like, that's not his hair. That's so not his hair. His hair is not that nice.
Because you could tell where the real hair stopped and the fake hair began. It's just watch how it moves. It's perfect.
It's fake.
Yeah.
But it was good fake hair. It wasn't the wig of what they had him wear a few years ago.
Oh, no, because he can't wrestle in a wig.
He can't wrestle in a wig. But yeah, good weave. Very good weave, so.
And then we played the hits.
Before we get to the hits, okay. I do want to talk about one thing that I would have liked to have seen from this. Mm-hmm. Because John Cena is on the ramp when Taker appears. And as Taker's rising up from the stage and he starts walking, Cena runs back down to the ring. But we don't see Cena run back down to the ring. What I would have liked to have seen is Taker back Cena up to the ring. That's what I would have loved to have seen, is like Taker's doing his entrance and he's glaring down Cena, right? Like just glaring him down. And Cena's like, oh crap. Oh crap. I pissed him off. Oh god, I'm gonna die. Like, just, I would have loved to have seen that, because Taker's entire expression the whole time that he's looking at Cena is like, you bleeping a-hole. That's exactly what Taker's expression is. He's like, I'm going to murder you in your face, and you're going to like it, because this is what you have asked for.
Pretty much, yeah.
And, you know, the Undertaker's quite accommodating when it comes to that kind of stuff. So anyway, yes, Taker did the hits.
The flying clothesline. He went old school. Cena got one move in, leading to the five knuckle shuffle,
which Taker sat up
for.
And Cena did a great sell of that.
Oh, he did a great sell of it.
That's the one thing I love, is when Cena sells the sit up and Bray Wyatt's little spider thing.
Yeah. And then chokeslam and a tombstone for the 1, 2, 3.
Now, a lot of people complained about this. They said that, you know, basically it's time for Undertaker to retire, which I would agree with that. I think it's time for Undertaker to retire, but I felt like he was moving so much better this year. He looked better. He didn't seem like he was in as much pain, which it was rumored that he had either knee or hip surgery last summer. So it would make sense that he's potentially moving better.
I have a quote. X-Pac Sean Waltman talked to The Undertaker and spoke about it on his podcast. So I talked to Taker afterward and I said, Taker, I knew you weren't done last year. I just knew it. He said, yeah, I should have sucked up my pride and had the work done, you know? On his hip. So that's what he's done since then, because he moved pretty damn good in there. So I was telling him, Mark, if you wanted to hang it up on this one, it's not a bad one to do, but I don't think that's going to happen, clearly, because now at the greatest Royal Rumble, it is Chris Jericho versus The Undertaker in a casket match.
Which, again, that should be relatively quick, but yeah, Taker looked good. He was moving well. I haven't seen Taker move that well in a long, long time. Granted, it was not, you know, when he was in his prime, but the man is 53 years old. So he was moving very, very well for him, which sounds horrible, but it's true. And I really enjoyed this. I like this. It's always great to see him, but I wish he would go home and he would be a dad and he would sleep on his couch, because I feel like he's earned that, but it's whatever he wants to do because it's his life. But yes, he's going to be on the Greatest Royal Rumble. You will hear me scream about it in 3 weeks.
So there was a lot of people who did not like this because they felt like they got ripped off.
I can get that. I can understand that.
I can understand that. But here's the thing. What did you get ripped off from? What did they promote? Nothing.
Okay, but to be fair, we ranted on this for like 2 weeks.
Oh, I hated the booking. don't get me wrong, I hated all the build up to it. I thought it was awful. I thought it did take her no service. But what they were giving us and what they were telling us, they didn't say we were going to get a match. If they planned a match, if they said on Monday Night Raw with that crappy build and said, here's a match between John Cena and The Undertaker and it was 2 minutes, I'd be pissed. But they never told us about the match. And
yeah, they never promised it. They always said that.
So that's why I'm okay with it. I hated the build. I hated what it's doing to The Undertaker character. But I was okay with the performance because I was told I was not getting a match. And since I wasn't told I was getting a match, I wasn't disappointed that we got the hits. I enjoyed the hits. It worked for the occasion.
Again, the man is 53. What do you want? Like, he technically should have retired last year. He really should have, but he didn't. Instead, he came back for one more, and he's doing another one in 3 weeks in Saudi Arabia. So it's very clear Taker is not 100% done, and I would suspect that we probably see him, since he's feeling good, a handful more times this year, and then he potentially retires next year, or at Survivor Series or something, or whenever he's ready. But it's like, every time we get Taker, it's like, it's a gift, because those times, they're running out. Eventually, he is going to hang it up. He's going to be done. He's going to go home. He's going to be a dad. He's going to be a husband. He's going to go take cooking classes and do woodworking classes and all the other crap that he does when he's not wrestling. And he's going to lead his normal life. And he's just going to go be him, which is totally fine. So it's like, anytime we get the Undertaker, it's like, yeah, I'm super grateful to get it. I'm always happy to see him. Do I want him to go have that other life? Yeah, sure. Because he doesn't owe you anything. He doesn't owe anybody anything. He's been in WWE. This was an interesting fact. He's been in WWE over 10,000 days. That's like 28 years? 27, 28?
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that? Think about that. Okay, 28 years, something. I mean, Jesus. He has been in WWE as long as some people have been alive.
He has 100 pay-per-view wins?
Yeah, no more than that. Isn't it like 1,000?
Was it 1,000?
Might have been.
No, it can't be 1,000, because there's only 12 pay-per-views a year. It can't be 1,000.
Was it 100?
It was 100, yeah. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good, so.
I mean, 20 of them were at WrestleMania.
There you go. So yeah, so Taker looked great. I mean, I didn't have a problem with this segment. I was completely fine with it. But then again, I didn't really have a problem with a lot on this show. I actually really enjoyed the hell out of this show.
We're going to get some criticism here in a couple minutes, but.
Yeah.
I want to touch on something, because it's the next segment. The Hall of Fame thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to talk about them walking out, because that's just pointless and everything like that. I want to talk about Jeff Jarrett, all right, for a minute. I really enjoyed his performance with the Road Dogg doing With My Baby Tonight.
That was great.
They were awful. They, like, didn't know the words and everything, but them running through the crowd during the Hall of Fame.
What was left of the crowd?
What was left? No, they had most of the crowd, but them going up to the different wrestlers like Zack Ryder and everything like that, the underrated moment of it was like Jeff Jarrett's walking through the crowd right away, and the music going, and they're singing and everything, and he quickly sticks the mic in front of Sting, and Sting's like, wait, what? And then Jeff quickly moved, like he was trying to rib him with it. That was tremendous.
It was great.
Yeah, but them singing was cool. I enjoyed his speech. No mention of his TNA career at all. But it was fine. But I like when they do little weird things. I thought Edge and Christian doing the inducting the Dudleys was cool. They told some good stories. Devon was awesome. He told some great stories. They kept referencing that he's the producer now, so he's in charge. And he was threatening Bubba the entire time, which was great. They put someone through a table, and it went really, really long. Hillbilly Jim told us about every single moment he's ever had in professional wrestling.
Hillbilly Jim?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so let me just put
a
time frame on this. So, every Friday night, we do what's termed family dinner, where my parents and I all go have dinner together, and that's our way of doing the family dinner. Except we go to a Mexican restaurant, we all get drunk together. So, I had gone to dinner with them, I had gone back to their house to sober up, and I had driven home. And I walked in my door, and Hillbilly Jim
was still talking.
Was still talking.
There was
when I got home. He just wrapped up when I got home because it's like he went on. I think
he was on for 45 minutes.
Yeah,
there was She took her 20-something minutes to get home. At least what we were talking for 20-something minutes on her way home, and he was still talking. And she was amazed that she got on the. We were talking, and he was talking, and she was still talking when she got home. She was amazed by this. That's how long it went. That long of a drive.
Yeah, it's like, because the Dudleys went for like 40.
40-something minutes. He went for 40-something minutes. It was just a long speech.
I fell asleep. I didn't even see the end of the Hall of Fame. I made it till midnight, and then I was like, I'm going to bed.
She tapped out at midnight, which, don't blame her. Chris Goldberg came out and was like, I'm not going to go long. It's going to be as short as like my matches. It wasn't short. He went about a half hour, 40 minutes, which is fine. They're allowed to go as long as they want. There's nothing wrong with it, but it's like 4.5 hours for Hall of Fame was a little much.
And I felt bad for Goldberg. I felt bad
for
Mark Henry, because everybody pretty much was leaving right after Jeff Jarrett and going out, because it's like a lot of the talent had other places they had to be or other places they wanted to be. The families of the people that went before came out of the crowd. So by the time you got to Goldberg, there was pretty much nobody left in the VIP section. The building was still full. Like, all the fans were still there, but like everybody else had pretty much left. The only people that were still there, I think, were like Hunter and Steph and a select handful.
Ronda stayed the entire time, which was awesome.
Yeah, and Ronda stayed the entire time. Steph stayed.
Yeah, there are a bunch of people who stayed the time, full of measles. Yeah, well, you know, thing. That's a thing. But it was cool. A nice, cool moment was Mark Henry's kid was in the Salmon jacket.
And then Henry put on the Salmon jacket.
Which, he noted, he's lost a lot of weight since then.
He has. He looked really good.
But, like, the kid was dressed full on with the tie and everything like Mark Henry was, which was tremendous.
It was adorable, and his daughter is so cute.
So I recommend go watch the Hall of Fame. It was a lot of fun. Hillbilly Jim has just talked a lot, and it wasn't interesting to me, but some people may enjoy it. Anyway, that's a mini rant presented by GirlWork.net. Back to WrestleMania, right here on the Rack. RackRadioShow.com.
Sorry. And we should note that when they all came out at WrestleMania, Kid Rock was not there. So he got his ring, he got his check, and he left.
He had a cruise. The Kid Rock cruise was not leaving the next day, so that's why he was not there. He had to prepare for it.
Fair enough.
They were well aware of it.
Yeah. So up next, the conquering hero returns. We had Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens taking on Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon.
Operation Yes Movement. Vanguard 1 made an appearance.
Vanguard 1 made an appearance. They did a really cool intro for Brian, where it was basically the Operation Yes Movement, and they had cool little graphics for it. And Brian came out, Shane came out, he had a really neat entrance, and Kevin and Sammy came out, they had good entrances as well. I don't remember what their entrances were, but I know
they didn't do an entrance.
That's right.
The graphic was cool. They had the KO and Sammy graphic, but they jumped them.
Yep.
That's why you don't remember. It's like I was waiting for their duo entrance, and it's like, nope, they jumped him. And then, the best moment of the night. Sammy throws Shane McMahon in front of his kids and into his mother's lap.
Like you do.
That was tremendous. The powerbomb on the ring apron, they stretch out Daniel Bryan, shades back to WrestleMania 30. So it's Shane McMahon acting like he's Steve Blackman, throwing some kicks, and they beat on him. Omega had the greatest reaction to it. It's like, his first matchup ever that you've seen. They work on arms or legs, but this was the first matchup you've seen someone actually work on the diverticulitis.
Yep.
Shane does the usual coast to coast. The match got boring with Shane in there for a long time, because that's not what people want to see. It wasn't what I wanted to see. I wanted to see Daniel Bryan. So Daniel Bryan finally gets up there, gets the hot tag, and he just goes.
He just went, and it was beautiful.
The one breathtaking moment where you held your breath was the Hurricanrana from that top rope, but he nailed it perfectly. He took a huluva kick for a two count, but then Daniel Bryan's all hawking up.
He goaded up.
He starts slapping the crap out of Sami Zayn, and they were, that was impressive. And then he hit
Daniel. Daniel needs to teach Miz how to do the yes kicks, because it's like, Mrs. and Daniels are night and day, and Daniels just hits those beautifully.
Yes, Daniel Bryan hit the world-famous It Kicks on Sami Zayn, and then locks in the Yes Lock. Daniel Bryan, Shane O'Mac, win. Kevin and Sammy are still fired.
And we wait for Shane to turn. It never happens.
Okay, so I want to mention something, because this is reasons. There was a reason I thought Shane would turn in this match, because if you go back and you look at his jersey he was wearing, where his name usually is for McMahon on the back, it said yes, but it wasn't sewn in like the normal things on his outfit. So it was like, it looked like a tearaway patch. It wasn't, but that's what it looked like. So I thought that's what was going to happen, but it did not happen.
Yeah, so we have Daniel and Bree hug, and they kiss, they celebrate. Then Brian goes over and celebrates with the McMahons, and then they both left. It was a really fantastic moment. Brian was super over. I mean, the crowd was just into him. It was wonderful to see him back. He looks like he hasn't lost a step at all, which I'm sure he hasn't, because he's been training this for a while. So he looked great. He moved beautifully. The match was just everything you could want it to be. I mean, this was great.
SmackDown Throwdown Part 3. AJ Styles, Daniel Bryan was awesome. Anyway, back to WrestleMania. In front of 78,133 people, we saw the Raw Women's Championship. Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax.
Okay, can we just talk about Alexa's entrance?
Yeah, I was going to say Evil Sparkle Fairy. What?
Oh, she's back. She's so back. She's up on a platform. She's in a nice long little tutu. She's got this rocking coat. There's the title. She's got a little crown. And they've got her up in the fog. And there's some really, really cool pictures of her from this that just turned out amazing. And yeah, they bring her down. She's all sassy. It's like, go Alexa, go Alexa. And she saunters herself to the ring. Mickey meets her on the stage. They go down together. And then Nia comes out. And we have to talk about Nia's gear.
I've written about it already. You can go right ahead.
I appreciate what Nia was going for on this. And I love that she took a risk. But I really feel like it did not do nice things for her. And I've always had a problem with Nia's gear. Because I feel like it's not flattering to her. That they could find her better gear that would look so much better on her. But they just don't, and I understand that it is a challenge, and I respect that it is a challenge, and she's only going to wear what she's comfortable in, and I applaud her for wearing this, because it was very revealing in a lot of ways, and in a lot of ways, she looked really, really good. Like, the black and the gold was really nice on her, but just the way that they had done the gold and applied it was not good. It was not flattering. It didn't do nice things for her body. Because they cut it off right at the... basically, they made it look like a swimsuit kind of thing. And they didn't take the gold down onto her legs. And I feel like that would have helped to balance it a little bit if they had put the gold on her legs. That might have helped. But this did not do good things for her. But I appreciate her confidence in wearing it. She looked gorgeous otherwise. And yeah, I wish they would help her with her gear, but not going to rant on it. That's another time. This match was great. We saw Nia just destroy Mickey. She was a bamf. And, well, we had Alexa get some offense in, which was really good. This was not a squash match. They did the spot where they both scream at each other and Alexa tries to run away, which I love that spot.
Yeah, it was good. Poor Mickey got destroyed by Nia early.
Yeah.
That was awful. Poor Mickey.
But she looked good.
Mm-hmm. Alexa hit the Twisted Bliss from the top rope to the outside, which was nice. But then we had the Alexa Bliss fake crying, I'm so sorry, not moment where she turns where she shows compassion, then she turns into evil Alexa Bliss, says I'm sorry, and then drops her with the DDT for the one, the two. Hey, she finally learned how to kick out, and it was a lax kick out. It was a very lax kick out by Nia on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Nia showed off some power, hit the Samoan drop off the top, off the middle rope for the win. I was not impressed by this matchup. I thought Nia looked a little bit sloppy in this match, a little sluggish. But the match was okay. I don't know. For me, it was missing something. But what do you think?
I thought it was good. I mean, it was not the best thing on the card, but it was good. I liked that they had Nia show force, that she was dominant, that everything she did had an impact. I liked that Alexa got some defense in, like I said, so this was not a complete squash match where Nia just goes in and kills her. There were some good exchanges back and forth. They were a little unevenly matched just in terms of size and I think skill, because obviously Alexa has more experience than Nia and she works a different style than Nia, so didn't quite mesh stylistically, but this was very good to me. I enjoyed this.
So, and new Nia Jax.
Champion Nia Jax.
Yeah.
So, moving on from that, we have the match everybody's been waiting for, the other one. The SmackDown WWE Championship is on the line as AJ Styles takes on Shinsuke Nakamura. And good God, Shinsuke's entrance. Good God. This is everything we could want and more.
He had Alex Cooper's bass guitarist playing him to the ring. He had a whole thing of violins. It was tremendous.
Big. He had an entire damn orchestra.
It was awesome. It was awesome. It was a rock star-like entrance for Shinsuke Nakamura.
I actually want them to get the guitarist chick, because she was just badass, to re-record his theme.
Like they did with the dude with the violin?
Well, like they did with the violin, because she did a really, really cool rendition of it.
AJ Styles had some decent gear. It sparkled. It was cool.
It's pretty. It was really pretty.
All right. Technically, this match was fine. But boy, did they never get out of second gear.
This match was a little slow. They were more telling a story with this match than they were doing the high impact moves. So it took them a little while to get going because they had time and they knew they had time. So they really didn't rush it. They sort of built the story with this, but it took them a while to get there.
It did take them a while to get there, but I wasn't feeling it. It was technically, it was fine, but it was the hype. The hype killed it, and I think the placement on the show killed it. The crowd was sort of worn down for a while, but like I said, it should have opened the show. It really should have, because you really probably would have, one, they would have more time, two, they could have really tore the house down, but he got the knee to the back of the head for a two count, but then he goes for the Kinshasa, the knee to face, but no, it was nicely countered to a Styles Clash, and still, your WWE champion, AJ Styles, they hug, Shin bows down, gets on one knee, he proposes to AJ Styles, not really, hits him with a low blow, beats up AJ Styles, Kinshasa on the outside, heel Shin, reigns supreme.
This was good.
The beatdown afterwards was fine.
I feel like the beatdown afterwards is more impactful than the match. A lot of people complain about the finish of this match, like, why would you have AJ retain? And I feel like, and I'm going to wait kind of till we get into the Roman match, but it's like, this was one of the expected finishes where a lot of people were going, oh, Shinsuke's going to win, and they kind of skew the audience a little bit on this by having AJ win, and then Shinsuke goes heel. So they sort of like took some of the expected finishes and turned them on their ear. And this was one of them.
Yes, it was.
So up next, we have the Raw Tag Team titles on the line as the Bar is taking on Braun and a partner of his choice. We had the Bar come out on a Mardi Gras float. They were tossing beads. They had characters. It was good time being had by all. And then Braun comes out and he scares the revelers off the float. And what made this really hilarious was that they had like these big like masks, like mask head cover things on, and the faces were they're like they had their the, for the chicks anyway, they had their mouths open a little bit, so it looks like they're having a good time, they're partying, and then with the hand motions it looks like they're partying, but when Braun scared them away, they all start waving their hands like they're screaming, and the masks like they're screaming, so it just was perfect because they were just running away in terror. And then Braun does what Braun does best, he flipped the float. He broke the float. Some interns worked very hard on that, so thanks, Braun.
Right.
Hold
on. Brent spent all day working on that. Anyway.
Brent spent all day. He was very tired at the end. You should say you're sorry, Braun, to Brent. So now here comes the question. Who is Braun Strowman's partner? Who's it going to be? It's not going to be anybody in the back because they aren't worth his time. Oh, no. It's going to be you. And he starts to point to the crowd. And Braun Strowman gets out of the ring. He wanders through the crowd. He starts looking for a partner. He walks past the entire NXT roster. All of the Brits that were in town. There was a Trent Seven sighting. For sure.
No way, Jose.
I want to say Mandrews.
He may have been there, but I didn't notice him.
But yeah, Trent Seven and No Way Jose for sure. Made the shot when he walked by. And we're like, the NXT roster's right there, Braun! They're right there! Nope, keeps walking. Goes up into the crowd, and he pulls a 12-year-old boy out of the crowd for his partner. And we're all sitting here, we're like, oh god, he's gonna get a child killed. Oh no! We're all a little worried about it. So they go back to the ring, and the Bar's like, uh-uh, no, no, this is not a thing, you can't do this, this is not legal. Like, we're all sitting there, we're like, can you? Like, can you just go grab a fan out of the crowd? I guess you can.
Apparently you can.
The progress owner had a great line, where it's like, you need $25 and a blood test, is that it?
Yeah, that's how much a license in Louisiana costs, $25.
So, the kid gets up on the apron with Braun, and Braun wrestled pretty much the entire match against the bar. That was fine, it looked good. And then he goes to tag in the kid.
Hold on, before the tag, because this was the moment before the tag. The flying crossbody by Braun.
Oh my god!
On both of them. That was
where did that come from?
He leaped, he smothered both men.
He flew!
Now,
Braun Strowman flew!
Now go to the tag.
So, Braun Strowman's tired, he needs a breather, so he tags in the little boy, whose name is Nicholas, and Nicholas gets in the ring, Cesaro is getting all growly, Braun takes a breather, he's like, okay, I'm good, and then he tags Nicholas back out, and he takes out Cesaro, he takes out Sheamus, and you're new, Raw Tag Team Champions, Braun and Nicholas.
It was later revealed on Monday Night Raw that they had to vacate the WWE Tag Team Championships because Nicholas has commitments. He's in the fourth grade. He has school. At one point, Go ahead.
He's still in the fourth grade.
I thought for a moment, I guess his new school is the PC, but it was not to be. So, yes. They were, for the moment, new Tag Team Champions, and it was awesome. It was a cool moment. I know some people, I don't know how, disliked it, but take your brain off for a minute and enjoy it. And imagine that it was you who got picked out of the crowd and got to be Braun Strowman's tag team partner. Imagine that for a moment. And think how cool it would be. And guess what? This kid, even though he's the ref's son, how cool it would be. Because now, guess what he did on Tuesday? He took the replica belt that they gave him and he went to school with it properly. And it was probably the coolest moment in his life.
Yep. He's going to be popular for the rest of his life, or for a while anyway, because he was on WrestleMania, so that was a really neat moment for him. Honestly, I can see why people hated this. They wanted it to be serious because there was a title involved. I thought this was fun. This was fine. It was goofy. It was a feel-good moment, and because you just had Shinsuke Nakamura go heel, this was something that brought the crowd back to life. And this was a good moment. This was a fun moment.
So what they need to do, I hope they do this, is that whenever they're back in that town and school's in session, have Braun Strowman show up at Nicholas's school.
Oh my god, that'd be amazing.
And take a camera crew with them. That would be tremendous. Bring Braun Strowman to show and tell.
No, know what you do? The last day of school.
Yeah. Bring Braun Strowman.
Yeah, Braun Strowman come in and he's waiting in the parking lot for Nicholas and he's like, let's go!
Let's go.
Because he's like, you know, when he's out of school, he'll be back and Nicholas is like, you're gonna get these hands! And it's like, Braun, you took a small, timid child and you turned him into that in less than 24 hours. Quality parenting.
Exactly.
So, last, but certainly not least, and we should add that there were not a lot of backstage segments on this show. There were virtually none, which I kind of liked.
There weren't any, no.
It was all just straight.
Video packages and entrances and everything.
We have the Universal Championship on the line as Brock Lesnar takes on Roman Reigns.
Suplexes, Superman punches, 11:48 p.m. Eastern. The fans start chanting, CM Punk, CM Punk. By the way, CM Punk officially announced to return to the ring, to the Octagon, in June for UFC whatever. In Chicago, officially announced today. And the dude he's fighting photoshopped a picture of his own face onto John Cena, where he's staring down CM Punk.
Oh, God.
So.
Oh, no.
There's a thing. Fans brought out their beach balls.
Which was rude. I'm sorry. That's just rude.
They were chanting everything, this is awful, and everything like that. The crowd was not into this matchup. They stuck around 7 hours to boo this matchup to show their displeasure.
Which is rude.
So for an entire year, they've been building up the F5 as a one move. Once it's hit, it's over. So they're building to this spot. This crowd does not care. F5 kicks out. They were expecting shock and all. Did not get it. They got boo birds and beach balls.
Yeah, meh.
F5 again, kick out. F5 again, kick out. We had a broken table. F5, kick out. Roman is bleeding. Roman hits two spears.
Profusely bleeding.
Yeah.
Profusely, like, he got a cut on his scalp bleeding.
Crimson mask. Roman starts firing back, hits two spears. Brock kicks out. And then the F5 for the 1-2-3, shocking the world, and still your Universal Champion, Brock Lesnar.
Okay, so there was a lot of people pissed about this. There were a lot of people happy, but there were a lot of people angry that Roman lost. And I brought this point up on Tumblr because I was seeing all these people complain about it, and it was like I finally had enough and I just made a comment. So here's my unpopular opinion about this, is that all the rumors were swirling that Brock Lesnar was leaving WWE, which means he was going to be dropping the title. He was going to drop it to Roman Reigns. That was the expected outcome. There were several expected outcomes on this show because it was like, Asuka's going to win because, of course, Asuka's going to win. They're not going to break the streak. You know, Shinsuke's going to win because he has to win, right? Roman has to win because Brock's leaving. Like, there were several of these matches where it's like, well, they have to win, right? They have to win. Okay, so here's the thing. WWE knew that. They heard that. They see that. And they went, we could do the expected thing, and it would be perfectly fine, and everybody would be happy, but it would be average. Or we could do the unexpected thing, and we can make everybody talk about it. We could create buzz about the event. And guess what? They went with the buzz. You tuned into Monday Night Raw because you wanted to find out what was going to happen with Roman. You wanted to find out what was going to happen with Braun. You wanted to find out what was going to happen with Asuka. All these different types of things. They created buzz, and they did it to skew the fans. And also because Brock isn't done.
It was announced on Monday afternoon that Brock Lesnar has re-signed with World Wrestling Entertainment. Who knows for how long the contract is for? Is it short term? Is it long term? No one is for sure. They did not announce that part. Other than he has re-signed, he will be defending that championship inside a steel cage at the Greatest Royal Rumble later this month. They made the decision to, Brock made the decision to re-sign with the company on the previous Monday before WrestleMania. He signed a contract. They agreed to deal on that Monday. They signed a contract on at WrestleMania. Roman Reigns was told about the decision on Sunday. The referee in charge of the match was told in the ring as the match was starting what they finished, what the result was. The reasoning behind the decision, one is shock and one is to create buzz elsewhere. And two, they sort of realized that this crowd, quote-unquote, this crowd was going to react poorly to Roman Reigns winning the championship. My question to all of you, how many times are they going to use the excuse, this crowd, before they realize it's not just this crowd, or that crowd, or that crowd, or that crowd, but it's all the crowds aren't going to be receptive of Roman Reigns winning the championship on this platform?
I think they're realizing that. I think they know that.
I don't think so.
Because I think some people are starting to, because otherwise this decision wouldn't have been made, because they see the comments, they hear the boos, they know what's going on, they're not stupid. It's getting it up to the top, though, and making the top understand that, hey, look, this is what we're seeing out there. And honestly, I'm just going to say it. Roman Reigns really is not as unpopular as people think he is. He's actually very over, from what I understand, on the house shows. But when you get him on TV, all you hear are the boos. Like, the boo birds go, and they boo at him. Because it's fun. It's like, let's boo Roman Reigns. It's like John Cena back in the day. Let's boo John Cena, because it's fun. Because we can. Because we don't want him. We want this other person. And it's been deemed that we're going to have him instead of the one that we want. Like, this is what people do. They did it to Sheamus. They do it to everybody that the company deems this is going to be our next top star instead of taking the person that has organically gotten over. And that's why Daniel Bryan was such a huge thing, because the fans were like, no, we want Bryan. We want him. We don't want this other guy. So I think they're realizing that and they're understanding that, and that's why they made the decision that they made. But also, another point that I made was, I feel like there was a higher message in this, which I don't know if their writing staff is that deep or not, but it's that you can do everything right. You can win the Royal Rumble. You can win Elimination Chamber. You can have a guaranteed shot at the title, and you can still lose. Like, just because you win one thing doesn't mean you automatically get the other. That's the point.
And that's what happened. Both Royal Rumble winners lost at WrestleMania. The man who won the Elimination Chamber lost and did not get the title. And Alexa Bliss, who retained her belt in the Elimination Chamber, lost. So the setup on the way, those people lost in the big moment. We all knew this match was coming. We all knew the result a year out. They changed it at the end to Brock Lesnar winning. They're going to Saudi Arabia. Roman Reigns, like we said, going to WrestleMania, will probably end up walking out champion, one would assume, because at that point, if he loses, there's no way in hell do I want to see another Brock and Roman match for the championship. If Roman doesn't get the belt in Saudi Arabia, you gotta stop. You should actually stop now and put someone else in that position, but they're going to continue to put him in that position. But at some point, it has to stop. You crown Roman Reigns at WrestleMania 32 as WWE Champion. And guess what happened when they put the belt on him? Do we all remember what happened 2 years ago when he held that championship and why his reign got cut short?
2 years ago?
2 years ago. Why did his reign get cut short when Dean Ambrose cashed in Money in the Bank?
Because he was doing something he wasn't supposed to be doing.
Correct. He got popped. Wellness violation. So the crowning, all the build, got stopped because he got popped. So at some point, if this crowning does not work, because he's been crowned champion 3 times
this will now, be his fourth time.
If he wins, it'll be his fourth championship run. At some point, you have to figure out what's next. Because at some point, you gotta move on to the next challenger. Back in the Attitude Era, you had Steve Austin, you had The Rock, you had Mick Foley, you had Triple H, you had this title bouncing around to different people. So it was not relying on one person to get the CHOP championship. At some point, you're going to have to put other people besides Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar in this championship picture and get the championship. That's where we are. And I know Goldberg held the champion, whatever, but that really wasn't a thing. You gotta have other people hold the championship and put in that spot to see if they can deliver. And if all else fails, then yes, you go back to Roman Reigns. But at that point, people may accept it, and people will be clamoring for Roman Reigns to get that championship. That's all.
Yeah. And there's just one other thing I want to address, and I don't want to sound like a jerk, but I've seen this, and it kind of irritated me, and I've held it in for several days now, and that's that people are like, oh, well, Roman deserves better. You know who deserves better? Every person that was in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, every person that was in the Women's Battle Royal, every person that was on the pre-show deserves better. I have a really hard time sympathizing with Roman where people are like, oh, well, he deserved better. He deserved to win the title. He's a 3-time champion. He's been in the main event of WrestleMania for the last 4 years. He's heavily featured on TV, and he's generally in the main event of almost every pay-per-view, if not every pay-per-view. When you have other people who are struggling to get on TV, who can't get on TV, I like to point out, Bray Wyatt was the champion going into WrestleMania last year. This year, he was on the pre-show hugging Matt Hardy. So don't come at me saying that Roman Reigns deserves better. Roman Reigns, he has earned his place, and he deserves to be where he is. Absolutely. He's worked 100% hard. But just because he is Roman Reigns, he doesn't deserve to win the title. Sometimes he has to lose a match. And if he lost it to Brock, yeah, that really sucks. And I'm sorry that happened to him, and I'm sorry you're upset, but you know what? He doesn't deserve to win the title. That's not better. That's not better. It's just not.
So, with that being said, Tommy C, congratulations on winning a copy of the WWE's Book of Booty from the New Day autographed. We will be sending you a copy in the next week or so. Get in touch with us. Send me a message on Facebook with your information, and we will ship out the book to you. Congratulations to Michael Peterson for having the same record, but sucks that you live overseas that we can't send you the book, because we would have if you lived here. In North America. Sorry.
We're giving you a double thumbs up, though.
Yeah, double thumbs up. The video game went 11-3.
Wow.
I went 10-4. The 8-ball went 7-7. You went 6-8.
All right.
The coin went 4-10.
Hey, I beat the coin.
Beat the coin. So there you go.
But overall, thoughts on the show? This was a really good show. This was really entertaining. I liked all the stuff that they did with it. I liked the surprise finishes. I know some people didn't like this show. They didn't enjoy it. I thought this was good. I don't think it was as good as TakeOver. Like, TakeOver is just freaking off the charts. But this was good.
WrestleMania standards go, pretty good.
It had a much better outcome than the last time they were in New Orleans. I will say that. But I still don't like them going to that city because bad things happen to the people that I love in that city. So, that being said, I think that does it for our WrestleMania recap.
It does.
So you have plugs, so plug away.
So as she just mentioned, NXT TakeOver, we did a review of it. It's now available at RockRadioShow.com, along with the Rock Extra Reviews, Timeless, and the Royals. We will have additions of the Rock Extra Reviews, the Royals, and Timeless this weekend after the shows air on Sunday night. Saturday night, midnight-ish, is CB Radio. The Weird, the Wacky, the Unusual. I don't think we've announced the Greater Than Great Debate, so I'm not going to announce it right now until I know what's officially what we're doing. But go to greaterthangreatdebate.com, see we're live, Facebook, Twitter, and .com, hashtag Blame Rob when somebody dies. Sunday night, Russell Talk Radio with a brand new all-time greatest coming at you on Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern at WTR Sunday night on the Facebook and the Twitter. Monday night's Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern for the Rack. Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Stitcher, Instagram, iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn. All in the brand name Rack Radio Show, RackRadioShow.com, at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/WildTalkRadio.
You can follow me on Twitter at LensWard, LNSWRD. Go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LensWard, same as the Twitters. And don't forget to check out the amazing, awesome sponsors, MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211, Gerwick.net, and fightboot.com. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to the WrestleMania Review right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be back next week with the regular show. Till then, bye! I'll be the highest hillbilly that Bourbon Street has ever seen.
WildTalkRadio.com.